Thanks for joining us today on the Women's Franchise Committee podcast, Her Success, Stories of Women in Franchise Leadership. I am Cassidy Ford. I am joined today by Nancy Bigley, the Chief Operating Officer at Painting with a Twist. If you don't know, Painting with a Twist is a franchise brand with over 280 locations, and it is pairing the very best of hands-on painting parties with wine and giving women a carefree escape. We all know that we need a carefree escape right now. So Nancy has been involved in franchising since 1991 with brands such as Dunkin' Brands, American Leak Detection, and the Dwyer Group. Also, like many of you, Nancy is no stranger to business ownership. She is the founder of her own paint and sip concept, Bottle and Bottega, based out of Chicago. And she is heavily involved in the International Franchise Association through her volunteer work with the Friendship Mentorship Program. And she is a former chair of the Women's Franchise Committee. So welcome, Nancy. I'm so glad to sit down with you today.
Thanks, Cassidy. That was a great intro. I appreciate it.
There's a lot to introduce. So for those of you who are first-time guests to the podcast, the whole point of Her Success is to inspire and encourage women like me and new generations of women in franchising by sharing stories of women in leadership in this space who have both thrived and struggled throughout their years and paved the way for, you know, generations to come. And as a millennial and someone who's about 8 years into my franchising career, I am super excited to sit down with Nancy. And we've dubbed this as her speaking to her younger self, which is kind of fun. But let's just dive in. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your journey in franchising?
Sure. So again, you did a great recap of my background. So thank you for that. And just to add to that, without diving into too much detail, I think, you know, look, I sort of stumbled into franchising. It's not like a sexy story about a pre-planned future. And I think, you know, when you're in your 20s out of college, that often happens. You just don't really know what you want to do. And you just have these opportunities that come up. And I think, you know, for me, it was an opportunity that presented itself. And I'll probably talk a lot about that throughout this podcast, because I think, you know, being open and receptive to opportunities is what we all need to be if we want to continue to grow in our careers. But anyway, yeah, for me, it was just very organic. It was, you know, I was in the clothing business out of college. It was what I did through high school and through college. And it was easy, right? It was easy to fall into because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had a degree in business, which was great, but you know, what do you do with that? And I realized very quickly that, you know, fashion and clothing was not the sort of environment for me personally, that was healthy. And, you know, for me personally, it just wasn't an environment that I felt was a positive enough for me and what I wanted to be around. So I heard about this job at American Leak Detection, running their company-owned operation, which was really, you know, a lot of plumbing, which I knew nothing about. And I just was really wanting to just start fresh and do something I've never done before. And I heard about this word franchising, and I, again, didn't really know what it was about, but I asked a lot of questions in the interview, and I was like, huh, this sounds pretty interesting. So I jumped into that, and very quickly, you know, at that company, you know, just said, was peeking over to the corporate side as I was learning company owned operations, and realized like, well, what's going on over there? This is kind of interesting. And, you know, we were very small at the time, 47 locations. So that's sort of where my franchising career began. And 12 years later, you know, we had built it up to about 165 locations, and I was vice president. So, you know, that was sort of the beginning of my franchising career. And it just got amazing, after, you know, throughout that time and after.
So that's a huge lesson to learn just out of the gate and before you even started in franchising, about recognize the self-awareness to know when you're in the wrong environment is a fantastic lesson just to learn really early on in your career. But you've been in the game since 1991. What is another lesson that you think, you know, you learned and that you would wish that other people would know as they're starting out their careers?
I think the biggest one that I've carried that I probably didn't recognize it at the time, but again, now that I'm reflecting back to my earlier self, my younger self, you know, what was amazing about my first opportunity was, you know, my boss was very open to allowing me to learn. And, you know, I think I am that person that I raise my hand for everything. I want to learn all the time. I'm not afraid to, and actually prefer to try things that I don't know a lot about. Now I want to, you know, you got to make sure it's something you can actually be successful at, but I really wanted to experiment. And again, especially in my 20s, like I didn't know what I was good at. I needed to explore what I was good at. And so having a champion that you work for, I think is really critical. And it was a lesson that I've learned over the years and something that I sought out in other companies that I went to work for, because, you know, I think you can get very easily into, you know, this narrow little niche that you can't get out of. But, you know, if you really want to push yourself and grow as a leader, I think you've got to have those people around you that, you know, give you those opportunities to try new things, but also give you the permission to fail. So if you don't have permission to fail and you're fearful of it, you're not going to take the risk that you need to push yourself and grow and learn. And, you know, it's got to be measured risk for sure and measured failure, and you have to learn from it. But those were some of the things that I learned early in my career that were really important to me, that I knew that I needed to have in a company that I worked for. And I, you know, certainly try to bring those lessons forward as a leader myself.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, if I had not, and it's not just about being surrounded by champions or working for champions, you have to seek them out, right? Mm-hmm. So I probably wouldn't be here talking to you if I hadn't had leaders in my life who had kind of pushed me and told me, you know, how it was, being really frank with me, and been cheerleaders for me too. That is important.
Yeah, for sure.
So how important do you think it is, and what role has it played in your career by surrounding yourself with those solid people and building that network?
I mean, pivotal for sure. I think having a boss that is your champion and your coach and, you know, all those things is critical. And again, just being in that positive environment, I think is important. And, you know, if you don't have those things, it's just no fun, right? And you're not going to grow. But, you know, you got to have more than that. Like, you can't just have that one person, right? That's your person that's with you kind of every day and sort of grooming you, but you really need more and a bigger network. And so I, you know, started to build that network of people that I met, you know, along the way in IFA and at other organizations that, you know, could help me learn and grow in areas of franchising that I wasn't familiar with or comfortable with at that time was everything because, you know, it was all brand new, but, you know, law and development and marketing, like ops, everything. I always, you know, I started to look for those people that not were only smart in it, but that would be comfortable if I pick up the phone and said, hey, I need some help in this. Like, you know, you have to have people you can be vulnerable with. I think that was big. Like, there's, again, so many amazing people out there you can learn from, but you have to find those people that you can be vulnerable with. And you could say, look, like I'm outside my realm here. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. Or, you know, you've got to, if you can't be vulnerable with people, you're not going to get the information that you need. And then I also really look for people that would be honest with me too, because I certainly don't want a group of people that are just gonna be like, you're wonderful, you're great. Like, oh my God, don't worry about it. It's like, no, like I want a little bit of that, but I also need to have, you know, sort of those tough conversations where like, look, we've talked about this before, you know, it's time, you need to like make a move and make a decision and move on. Like, we can't keep, you know, talking about it. or also to challenge. Like, it's really, you got to have those people that can challenge and give you enough balanced information that you can ultimately make decisions on what you want. But I think that for me has been one of the most pivotal resources in my career, because, you know, I don't know everything and I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly wanting to push myself. And so it helps me take risks, which sounds weird, but knowing that I have a group of people that I can rely on and lean on if I get into trouble, or, you know, it gives me a tremendous amount of comfort and allows me to maybe take risks where I normally wouldn't. So I definitely recommend, you know, that is, you know, early in your career. And luckily that happened for me very early in my career. And my boss, Dick Rennick, he's a great networker and he's a great champion of that. So it really showed me the path of what I needed to do pretty early. And I think that really was a pivotal thing for my career, you know, and sort of moving forward and the different things that I did.
Yeah. You mentioned Dick Rennick. Let's just take a second to call out some people. Who are some people that have really been pivotal for you in helping you?
I never like to mention names because you always leave someone out.
Yeah.
And then you feel horrible because the list is pretty big for me, right? Like, yeah. It's a long, you know, 27 years or whatever. And, you know, former bosses for sure, you know, and just other leaders in franchising. I mean, there is just so many, but, you know.
Yeah, no,
I guess I'll leave it at that. I don't want to get any trouble.
Well, and the franchising space is so small. It seems like it's so big, but it's so small. And we come into contact and connect with so many different people. That is something that's so great about it, is that so many people have an opportunity to impact you and vice versa, right?
Yeah. And sometimes it's a very small thing, right? Like, there's people I'm friends with or I've met along the way, and it was maybe just a small thing that they said or a little piece of advice, and they might not be in my normal network of people, but, you know, there's some things that just stick with you that you just keep reflecting back on for years to come. And I, you know, it's one of the reasons I'm always try to be very mindful of how I interact with people, even if it feels casual, because you just never know whether it's an employee or it's, you know, someone in franchising that just jumps up to you and says, hey, you know, I just wanted to meet you. Like, you just never know what that interaction is going to mean to someone. And I try to be very mindful of that, you know, as I move through interactions with people.
Right. It really is, especially, you know, when you're just in passing talking to someone at a conference or convention or something. I remember when the first time that I met you, you didn't even remember this, but it was at IFA a couple of years ago. And I don't get intimidated that easily, but you came by and I was like, this woman has her stuff together. And it was just a fleeting impression, but those impressions are so important, even on people that you don't even know.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk. You just said something about that you're still learning, and some of the things that we talked about earlier when we kind of just first met was that you're still mastering. We're going to have a caveat to this conversation. You said that some of the things that we talk about, you're still in the process of mastering, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Pretty much everything. I think everything I'm still in the process of mastering.
And that's why it's so important to have that constant feedback from your tribe.
Right. Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. Risk taking. I am a pretty good risk taker, but it took me about 2.5 years to feel comfortable really reaching out to someone or getting involved in, you know, the franchise events and things like that. And it had to do with someone who reached out to me actively. It was a coworker, another woman. And I guess my question to you is, as someone who's in a position to be able to do that for other people, what would you say to other leaders out there who can help drive growth for new generations? How can they actively reach out to people like me and kind of better the world around them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's a challenge for most people. And, you know, certainly at IFA, I've heard, because I, you know, I definitely do like the first timer receptions every year, because I love to be able to just, you know, make people feel welcome, because it is very overwhelming from, you know, back when I started even. But, you know, I think the main thing I always like to say, and I always try to look at and look at for my team too, is like, just get involved. Like, you know, it's, you got to just, sounds easy, but it's not. And I understand you got to just jump out there and get involved and be confident, like be confident in who you are and what you know, what you don't know, like even, you know, new early in your career, like, yeah, you don't know a lot, but nobody expects you to, you know, like, I think we put such high expectations on ourselves. Like, I can't talk to that person because I don't know everything. It's like, no, that's why you should talk to that person, because you don't know everything. And, you know, for me, it was really like getting involved in a committee and not being afraid to get involved in a committee, even though I was new. And look, like, you know, you're respectful and you sit back, like, and absorb it and interject when you feel you do have something valuable to add. But, you know, you just got to kind of get out there. But even just little things like attending roundtables, or now that we have all this virtual, it's so much easier. So there's so many groups out there that are doing virtual networking. Like, start jumping on, you know, those calls, but be consistent. You know, I think that's, you know, what I always say is you got to show up, and you got to show up consistently if you want people to take notice, and you got to contribute and give back. Like, I'm a big believer in giving back, even if you can't, right? Like, even if you're too busy or you can't afford it or you can't, whatever it might be, like, give anyway, because the universe will reward you. And I'm a big believer in that. And I think it's just the right thing to do anyway. But it, you know, giving of your time to others who ask you to, I think is very rewarding. But early on, you know, you just got to get out there and get involved. And I think as leaders, you know, I try to be mindful of those things that come across my desk that I think, you know, would be beneficial to my team, because look, everybody wants to grow and learn. So, you know, I do think we need to take a responsibility for that and, you know, look for opportunities, because most of the time, I think people are afraid to go to their bosses and go, hey, you know, can I get involved in this? And so that'd be the other thing I would say, is don't be afraid to go to your boss and say, look, like, this is something I'm really passionate about. I want to get more involved. I want to start developing a strong network. Like, can you help me with that? And again, if you're in the right environment and you're with the right boss, they will say yes. If they say no, then, you know, that might be something you need to think about for the future, because that is the person that, again, should be your champion to help you start getting the learnings and get down that growth path that you're looking for. So those would be some things that I would, you know, consider.
So I think you have a lot of passion for this. And when you are you're in the position that you're in, you're also well known for being a very results driven person, right? How do you balance all that? When we had talked, I don't know, a few weeks ago, you had said you wished you had learned not to sweat this small stuff sooner. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, looking back at my younger self, you know, I was very, and I still am very intense and very direct and, you know, go, go, go. And I'm definitely, you know, a workhorse for sure. And, you know, what I know now is, and you can't project that onto others, right? Like, you know, if I want to work 16 hours a day because I'm passionate about what I'm doing and I'm focused and driven, you know, and I need to do that, great, good for me. Like, that's my choice, but you can't expect that that high level of others. And so, you know, I learned that over time. It took me a while to learn that, but I've learned that now. And, you know, I'm very focused on my team having work-life balance, but, you know, get results, right? I am very results-driven. And so work-life balance, you know, or as close to it as we can, is important, but I also expect the results too. But then, yeah, like, you know, not everything's going to be perfect. And I think, again, early in my career, I was just, you know, I'm very responsible. I'm very passionate about getting it right. And, you know, to the point that it would be stressful, you know, if something went wrong, which everything goes, something always goes wrong. Like, that's just life. And so, but younger me was not okay with that. And so, you know, I'd be really hard on myself. I'd be really hard on my team. And it just didn't, you know, resonate well with the calm, you know, results driven, impactful leader that I wanted to be. And so now I've learned to like understand, like, look, things are going to happen. The best laid plans are still going to have hiccups. And, you know, what I've learned over the years is because I made mistakes and I got through it and the world didn't blow up, right? And I didn't lose my job and all these horrible things that you imagined in your head are going to happen didn't happen. You know, and you just learn and you get more wisdom because you've made it through difficult situations and like, I'm okay. So now it's easier, right, for me. And that just comes with, I think, age is it's okay. If something blows up, I've got the right people around me to help resolve it, whether internally or externally. And that's where that network comes in. That's where a supportive boss comes in. When you know you have those right elements around you, I feel like you can move through, you know, pretty much any challenge. And so that allows you to just not worry about the little thing. You worry about the detail, but you don't over obsess about it. And so that's definitely something I would tell my younger self is get that lesson a little earlier so that, you know, you can kind of make life a little easier for yourself.
And on the people around you too, like you said, you don't want to push that on the, you and I are very similar where I have a certain high standard, that goes for dating, that goes for friendships, that goes for work. I have a really high expectation and pushing that onto other people, it is hard. And I guess I'm, you know, when you are talking about that level of passion and working however many, you know, hours during the day and balancing that with your life in addition to what you're doing for work and the people around me, you know, how do you set those boundaries? That is something that especially women really struggle with. How have you learned to kind of balance that a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think a lot of it comes down to security and confidence, right? Because, you know, if you're secure and confident in your job and your role and your execution and your results, you know, you give yourself permission to like stop working at 6 o'clock or, you know, whatever that is, because you're like, look, I'm doing all I can do. And, you know, I got to stay healthy because, you know, I'm not good to anybody if I'm not healthy. And so, you know, I continually try to be very mindful of my physical and mental well-being because I know like I have to be on, I have to be sharp, you know, because every day is met with new challenges. And if I'm overtired and grumpy and, you know, it's not going to help me for the next day. And again, I think it just, you know, one of the lessons that I learned, or not lessons, but some work that I did over the years, when I was at Bottle and Bottega and was a founder, co-owner, owned two studios and growing a small brand is like, there's a lot of things that you got to get done. And so I learned, you know, better time management. I learned time blocking, read some great books by Brian Tracy and really implemented that into the culture of our company. And, you know, little tricks like that help me just tackle the big things first. Like, what are the most important things that are going to drive results in my business, or drive results in my role or in my department or the company I work for, and make sure those things get done first. So, you know, when you're able to really, you know, prioritize and understand, you know, what that, you know, time block and the time that you're spending on all the hundreds of tasks that we have to do, if you can get it down to those most important things that you're best at, and that those are going to drive the best results in the business, you know, I think that helps you just sort of go, look, I can take a day off today, or, you know, I can, you know, wrap up at 5 today and, you know, go to dinner with friends or whatever, because I know that I achieved the things, at least for today, that were the most important things for me to do. Tomorrow is a whole different story, but, you know, I had to kind of get to a place where if I could give myself permission to end the day, you know, by hitting my task that I really, really needed to get done, that just gave me a comfort, like that I'm okay. Like I can enjoy life and not stress and worry about that I didn't get the other, you know, 90 things done on my list. Because you can very easily get caught up in this, you know, 100 item list of things that never ends for us. And, you know, that's just not a healthy way to live, for sure.
When you're a business owner, especially, and you have, you know, all of those, that endless list, and it seems like you're working endless hours during the day, because what we're talking about for new generations, right? We're not just talking about young people or Gen Z, millennials. We're talking about women or whoever that are new into the world of franchising, or business owners who are new into being franchisees. And business ownership is something, or owning a franchise is something that I've thought about maybe later down the line. My question is, why did you choose to do that, knowing what kind of challenge it would be? You didn't know what kind of challenge it would be.
No, I did. I really did. And, you know, it was something I, you know, it was always a passion and a goal, right? It was a huge goal. And things just lined up for me. So I knew full well what I was getting into when I got into it anyway. But no, I think, look, it's a huge, you know, business ownership is like the best thing I've ever done. It was amazing. And, you know, I think we all want to always feel like, can I run a company and can I be successful and what will it take? And, you know, you just, and again, it's yours and it's something you're driving and you're passionate about. But as I've said to, you know, a lot of small franchisees, as they come in for, you know, buying franchises and whatnot, it's like, look, it's also can be the loneliest place in the world, right? Because it's all on your shoulders. So that's good on some days, it's bad on other days, because, you know, when you need to vent or you need to, you know, just express yourself maybe in a way to get through something, you can't do that to your team, because they are relying on you to be calm, have focus, and let them know what needs to be done. So that can be very stressful, and it can be very lonely. And again, it goes back to the network, right? Like if you don't have a tribe that you can go to and be vulnerable and say, I don't know what I'm doing today. Like, this is insane. What was I thinking? And they get you back on track and go, you're freaking out. Calm down. You know what you're doing, blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, yeah, right. So yeah, I mean, it's not everyone's built for it, for sure. And so you have to know going into it, especially if you're building a franchise brand, is it's not just about you. You're responsible for every single person that signs that franchise agreement. Like, they are buying into this business because of you. And that is an enormous amount of responsibility. And, you know, it needs to be taken very seriously. But you know, it's a beautiful thing too. And when things all, you know, when you see your vision come to life and your ideas come to life, it's pretty freaking awesome. So, you know, it's balanced though, right? Like, you got to be built for risk. You got to be built for stress. You got to be built for, you know, being like the best leader you could possibly ever be. Yeah. But, you know, that I think is where the self-awareness comes in. Like, if, you know, if you're a self-aware person, you're going to know if it's time, if you're ready for it, or, you know, if you need to sort of, you know, wait it out. And again, that's where your vulnerable tribe will come in too and go, yes, you're ready for this, do it. Or maybe
you're not. I think too, from my viewpoint, you can't just rely on your tribe. You have to understand yourself and have that core belief in yourself that you are amazing, that like that self-awareness that it's okay if you're not ready, and it's okay if you, you know, it's not the time and maybe it's not for you. But knowing then, having that confidence in yourself is sometimes not naturally part of who we are, but it is something that we can build up within ourselves, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, confidence, I think, is one of the key traits that we all need to have, as women, as leaders, I think, in particularly women, because we can self-doubt, you know, ourselves very, very easily. And, that's a self, deprecating and it's self-sabotage. Like, it doesn't help you. And, you know, look, like, you can't be blind to like what your weaknesses are, and, you know, what you need to work on. But again, like, we take so much responsibility on our shoulders for everything, whether it was our issue or not, or somebody else's. And, you know, I think that's a admirable quality, but not to the point that you're constantly doubting yourself. Because again, as a leader, like, you have to just, you know, gather information, assess, and act. And you got to keep going. Like, you and reflect, you know, you got to reflect, you got to get feedback, but you got to take it, do what you need to do with it, and then, you know, move on. And you can't just sort of wallow in the past. Like, it doesn't help you move forward if you're getting stuck in the past.
You've got to get over it.
It's
not personal. It's business too.
Yeah. Right.
And that's sometimes.
Well, sometimes it is personal, but.
You can't take it personal. That is something that I've struggled with too, because I have so much love for what I do, right? And you clearly do too, but I cannot take that emotional, even though that's how I as a woman am built, because yeah. I have to understand that what I'm being told is something that I can take to improve. It's something that I can take to build my character. And that's that's something that you take a lifetime to master as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, I'm always a big believer of, like, don't let other people sort of control your emotions. And, you know, whether it's, you know, feedback is given with good intention or not, right? Because sometimes people give feedback not with great intentions. But, you know, it's important to just, try to not be emotional, try not to take it personal and go, okay, well, maybe there's something here that I can learn from. And you just don't let other people control the outcome of yourself, right? Yeah. Like, to me, like, that gives them power. You don't want to give maybe, you know, a person that's not in your camp, that power over you. And you got to just learn to let things go. And, you know, I've talked about this before too, like, you got to learn what your own triggers are, because oftentimes you'll come across people in your career that purposely push your triggers, right? Because they wanted to see a reaction. And, you know, again, like, we have to get good at understanding our own triggers, understanding, you know, how we typically react to it, and learn to pause. Like, I'm a big fan now of just not talking. Like, stop talking. If something is triggering you, just take a breath, take a minute. And sometimes it might even be, you know what, I'm not prepared to talk about this now, but, you know, I'll get back to you when I am. And, you know, I think always taking the high road is something that, you know, we always want to strive for, but it does take some time to master for sure. I'm a lot better, but I'm definitely not perfect.
Okay, I think that's a good one to kind of wrap up on. So, do you have any last parting words that you would say to your younger self that you think someone, just one person that's tuning in, needs to hear?
I think my parting words would be, you know, in recap, it'd be make sure that you're in an environment that is healthy for you, right? So don't prematurely exit a company just because maybe you had a bad day, but, you know, just understand what you need to grow as a leader. Make sure, again, you have that champion boss or somebody that will allow you to kind of stretch and take risks and grow. Secondly, you know, the tribe, the network, you know, start building that sooner rather than later. And it might change over time, and that's okay. But, you know, starting to build that team that you can go to and learn from and get advice from, you know, is going to be pivotal and critical. And then I think lastly, it would be, just believe in yourself. Believe if you don't believe in yourself, other people aren't going to believe in you. Right. So that self-confidence is really important. And you know, you can be modest for sure, but don't doubt yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Don't, like, those are the things that can really, sabotage us. So I think just be confident, believe in yourself, and, you know, definitely, you know, help others. I guess that would be my fourth one. I said that was my last, but my final last would be, you know, pay it forward. And look, like, you're going to have a lot of people helping you throughout your career. You know, and so do the same for other people wherever you can, because that's just the right thing to do. And it feels really good. So
I love it. I love it. Okay. Well, this has been so much fun, Nancy. Thank you again for sitting down to talk today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you guys tune in for our next episode. It'll be coming up soon. And thank you so much for tuning in today.